Premier League and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, welcome along to another edition of Blokes on the Bench.
Sorry for that little bit of a gremlin there. We kind of went halfway in.
This weekend, we obviously had results, was it Tuesday, Wednesday? So I guess we'll just kind of glide over them quickly, and then we'll get into the main ones.
I think Mark will appreciate that if we just glide over them. Yeah,
yeah, I won't mind.
Appreciate if we just glide
over.
Actually,
I think everyone in the
results.
Room, pretty much, right, will be happy if we just glide over.
Yeah,
the,
it's rough for pretty much everyone in the top four.
All right.
Except for City, which I guess they're outside of the top. Well, no, they're top four.
All right. Well, okay, so first one, we have to go the whole way back to Tuesday, the 31st of January at Anfield. Anfield. I always call it Enfield.
I know you do,
it's
mate.
It's Anfield.
I've played
Enfield's
it.
A rifle, right?
It's not. No, I've played at Enfield. It's in London, mate.
And then there's Royal Enfield motorcycles, right?
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, so the first was Liverpool versus Chelsea. 1-1. That was, judging by Liverpool's performance today, that was a pretty good result.
I mean, it was at Anfield. They went a goal behind to, you know, a really good, smart free kick from David Luiz.
They seemed a little, the goalie definitely seemed shocked.
Well, they keep sending out the memes, don't they, on social media that he's still waiting for them to take the free kick. But, yeah, David Luiz with a real clever free kick. And to be, like, when you watch it, I mean, it's just perfect. And off the post. Even if the keeper was set, he pretty much has no chance.
Yeah, I don't know if he would have got it anyway.
He does that every now and again, I mean.
But that's his first, like, real cracker goal since he's come back, I would say, right?
Yeah, but he's got it in his locker. We've seen it a lot at Paris Saint-Germain in his first outing with Chelsea. He used to hit those 30-yard knuckle balls.
Yeah, he has that, like, Ronaldo-like strike that where it'll dip over the wall, and then it'll bounce right in front of the keeper, and those are the hardest when they're hit low and just like bouncing right in front of the keeper because you don't know how it's going to bounce.
And I was actually really surprised to see Liverpool actually get back into this game. They played all right. The shape still didn't look very good, but Wijnaldum with a header.
They had a lot of possession. They had about two-thirds of the possession, 16%.
They didn't do anything in the final third, though, did they?
That's their new MO, it seems like, because Liverpool, they just don't seem to really have anything at the end. They're like in the final third, they may have the ball there, and they may have possession.
And it's so strange.
But it's like shots on goals. They're just not getting any shots away. But
I mean, they don't really have a recognized striker anymore.
Well, you love recognized strikers. But is it a case of, look, the first half of the season, even United fans at this end of the studio have been pretty much raving about Liverpool going forward. They have looked really good. Is it a case, do we think, that teams are structuring and planning for Liverpool coming to town and kind of figuring out how to counteract? Maybe, you know, when I was growing up and you played against a very good attacking team, I was always told, that's your man, that's your man, that's your man, that's your man, for the defenders, if you like, and just be on him, just be up him the whole time. I don't care if he gets around the corner, there'll be someone to cover. But and I feel
as
like
as long as you have your man, then everyone's set. Yeah.
I feel like teams aren't standing off him anymore. They don't seem to have. Don't get me wrong, like you said, they have that level of possession, and they'll give them. Teams will give them that in the halfway line, even maybe 20 yards into the opposing half. But once you start trying to break the 25-yard line, if you like, or the 18-yard box, like there's no space there anymore for them.
Teams are much more organized around.
I think so. I don't think they're standing off them. Even the lesser teams are not standing off them and getting about them. And I think it's kind of proving that in the results.
And a lot of people are saying that Klopp has coached the team like he would a German team, where they have a long winter break. There is no winter break in England, of course, where that's when the fixtures are as heavy as ever. And people are saying that he's run the team into the ground almost. Because
I said that a month or two ago. I asked you about that, Ryan, if they could keep up that stamina of the high press and
everything, yeah.
Their pace of play. And
but the truth is, the answer to the question is still yes. They should be able to do that. These are world-class athletes, if you like, that should be able to just they should be able to play two games back-to-back, is the theory. Yes, during the winter period and even into the first month of the new year, do the games come thick and fast? Of course they do, but everybody knows that. Everybody knows that.
Yeah,
they're just not performing. They right. just...
Well, you got. I was going to say, you got a player in Coutinho who's just come back from injury. You know, his leg should be fresh, and he hasn't looked very good since he's come back.
He had a chance at, well, at least on the weekend, where he should have scored.
Yeah.
And then right at the end of the game.
Right. Well, the next game was Bournemouth versus Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace got a result 2-0. I didn't watch this game. Benteke got on the score sheet in the 92nd minute.
Yeah, I was surprised by this result.
Allardyce, first time I've seen him smile in a long time.
It's probably going to be the last time you see him smile as well, because when we get to today, absolute shocking.
All right, so the next game, the Emirates versus Watford. What was going on? I mean, I've obviously written for Watford, but still I would have thought.
Your boy Troy Deeney scored.
Yeah.
He's had a good run of form the last two games.
Well, it will be scored for you guys, but I mean, I was thinking, honestly, there's something going on with Arsenal.
We just look like we've lost the desire to really go at it.
I've got a lot of respect for you, buddy, but the amount of times I just want to rip Arsenal apart because there's no desire whatsoever. There's no, when you come to these games against like your Watfords and that, you're at home as well.
Yeah, that should have been a win.
Express yourself. But when you're down 2-0 after 13 minutes, you have to have the players on the pitch and the mental capacity to change your philosophy and be like, let's get ourselves out of the mire right now.
They need more of a general to be that leader. Who would you say is the leader of the team right now?
Sanchez.
Yeah.
And he seems pretty disappointed.
But you should have seen at the end of this game, there was a video that's...
Alexi went down the tunnel and didn't go and make himself known to the away fans, which is kind of a slap in the face.
You go and you clap, and that's kind of a traditional thing you do, especially when you're away.
I guess that sore loser mentality is rubbing.
Well, the sad thing is that, you know, he came out probably about a month ago and said that, you know, he wants to stay at the club and give our fans, you know, a new trophy, and because they come and support us on the road and at home, thick and thin, and... you know, the
pay the most money.
Yeah, well, you know, after the Bournemouth game as well, like when he was really upset, you know, that some of our players were happy that we came back and drew in that game, there was a lot of press and clickbait about him being upset, not talking to anybody in the dressing room. And, you know, I got to say, getting to the weekend game, just our top players didn't perform.
Yeah.
Poor run for Arsenal, for sure.
But especially that Watford game, you know, the Bournemouth game, he was the only one that was performing. He was the only one that he chased and harried every single pass.
Yeah.
And it's like he's got a bunch of schoolboys around him. I'd have been annoyed too. Honestly, I wish we could swear on the show because Arsenal do my head in.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning in to Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC. You can get in contact with us 434-284-9470 or hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Well, moving on to Burnley. Burnley versus Leicester City. Like, I mean, I'll talk about obviously today's game as well.
Leicester are
in a lot of trouble.
That ever won a league to lose four in a row the next season. Lowest points scored at this point of the season for any league winner from the prior year.
I don't think they've scored a goal this in 2017. If they have, they haven't scored a lot. And Vardy's only got 5 goals. I mean, we're talking about a player that he didn't win PFA Player of the Year, but I think he won the Journalist Player of the Year. And just this year he's not performing, and, you know, I'm kind of glad he didn't come to Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say about that is, first of all, a great result for Burnley. Let's throw that out there. They scored late on Sam Vokes, but it was a good result. Leicester, it's... Look, the magic's gone. Everyone knows that. So
even
now,
yeah,
it's time to turn up and fight. Yeah.
But I mean, like the report's coming out now, and there was an interview with Schmeichel after the game today.
Yeah. Very telling.
Yeah, and he said that we've lost confidence. I mean, he said also that maybe the locker room isn't as bad a shape as you hear from some of the reports that are coming out. But I mean, no matter what, the fact that you're talking about the locker room, it's kind of like the Arsenal situation.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the locker room, that's never a good thing. Yeah. Even if there isn't something there, the fact that that's a conversation topic, the team's not playing well.
Yeah. And I just want to say this talk about like the players not believing in the manager.
Yeah, is Ranieri gone? I mean,
I know. I think insanity. It's absolute disgusting. Like absolutely, probably the most disgusting thing I've ever heard from a football team.
But like Mourinho got sacked 1 year after he won the league.
Yeah, but you're talking about a different entity, aren't you? When you're talking about Roman Abramovich with
his track record
and what he does, and he wants.
But that's the kind of like mindset that fans have. If you don't cut it 1 year,
Leicester should know better than that, don't you think? Though, Leicester should know better than that?
I think that he has maybe 5 or 6 games, and if they keep on playing the way they do, the reality is that the money is too much. There's too much money to say, you know what, we're just going to stick around with this one guy, especially if the locker room reports are true. Let's say the locker room has turned against him. I mean, if that really has happened, you've got to make a move.
I think, at this point,
it's too early to make a
change. If the locker room turned against him, I'd have shipped out 10 players in January and I'd have bought 10 players in. I bought you a championship last year. Think about that. Leicester City were Premier League champions.
Crazy.
Ridiculous. As far as I'm concerned, the guy should have a job for the next 20 years, no matter what the results are. I guarantee the fans at the core.
What do you mean, like Arsene Wenger?
They agree with that statement, yeah.
Well, I think the thing is that, like in U.S. sports, that would happen because there's no relegation, and so there's less of a risk of losing millions and millions of dollars. But in Europe, because of the relegation concept, you have to perform every year. You can't have a one down year could be the end of you being a club. I mean,
absolutely. And I'm all for this, and I've always said this, is that the manager does not put the ball in the back of the net. The manager does not...
It is the players, obviously. Yeah.
Does not stand in a certain place as a defender who's well-experienced 12 years in the league and plays 2 players on side. I mean, it's just... It's at the moment, they're making schoolboy errors. They're not fighting as a team like they did last year. You actually see a lot of kind of... individual performances from Leicester at the moment, where that's not Leicester City. They're not that good. They don't have that individual quality to be able to do that. What works for them is being a team, being together. And yeah, you're right though. It's worrying.
Well, I mean,
times.
They did lose
worrying
Conte,
times.
You know, yeah. And look what he's doing at Chelsea.
Yeah, okay, but it's one it's, player. It's yeah. one player. It's one player. It's not like you lost Vardy, Mahrez, Okazaki, Wes Morgan, Huth, Schmeichel, your real key players, Fuchs, of last year, Drinkwater. I mean, they're all still there. Look, I think everyone knew that they weren't going to do what they did last year, but I think we expected a whole lot more than what they're doing right now.
Agreed. What about the talk of Joa wanting to leave, and then they said, we will not let you go because we're a little worried. If we lose you, then we only have 2 out-and-out strikers. I mean, that kind of stuff where you force players to stay that don't want to be there. I mean, I could see how that kind of thing could potentially harm the locker room, and you have players that are like, hey, I want to get out of here, and it's because they want minutes. I mean, and that's fair, but that's the kind of situation that could rip apart a locker room.
Ajo is a little different because he's of a certain age where he wants minutes. He wants to play. He knows he's at the twilight of his career.
Well, supposedly Ranieri or whoever it was in the front office said, if you don't get X number of minutes at the beginning of the season, I'll ship you off in January.
Right.
And then they basically pulled back on that, even though there was a bid.
Well, because I don't think they expected to be. And the bid was like, what, 1.2 million?
It was
ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did. My guess is they didn't expect to be where they are now. I think if they were ninth right now, Ranieri would have been happy to let him go for a decent figure, right? I think the bid reflected where they are in the league as well.
Like, yeah, right. And the amount of minutes he's had.
Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, they're in a tough spot. And like I said, we'll carry on with Leicester in a bit when we get to this weekend.
Next game, Middlesbrough versus West Brom. 1-1 draw.
Good result for Middlesbrough, I'd say.
Yeah.
They needed that at home. They've been a bit ropey at home at the moment.
The next game. What was going on with you guys? Spurs against Sunderland, draws.
I mean, if you look at the last two games, in three, really, if you even look at the FA Cup, but the last two games, Spurs have had some trouble getting the ball in the back of the net. They've had plenty of chances, but I think that there is definitely a reliance on Kane, and if Kane's not hitting the net, you would generally think, oh, Ali or Son or Eriksen, someone else is going to step up. But I think at this point, they're just grinding it out. It's like the dog days of the season. I'm not super concerned because they are creating, they're playing good football. But at the same time, they're not getting the goals they need. If you look at the top four, they have actually scored the least goals of anyone in the top four, maybe even in the top six. Mm-hmm. And so they've had these big results in these games where they've looked really good. They have like five goals or here or there. But then a lot of the goals they've had this year, they've kind of struggled to score. And particularly, it was an away game. It was, you know, Sunderland, I think, is one of the more tough places to play in the league. I'd be interested to see what their point differential is home and away. But, I mean, yeah.
I mean,
Defoe almost scored at the end. I mean, I'm looking at the stats here. It's like we had 72% of the possession.
Yeah.
It's not like we got like run over or anything
right,
like that.
Just unlucky.
So, and the thing is with Sunderland, you go into Sunderland, this is their notoriously every year. I'd go out on a limb and say for the past 8 years, Sunderland pick up their most of their points December, January, and February. And it's because
it's we cold, all know, it's windy.
We all know they don't turn up for the first 10 games. We all know that. But this is where they come into their own. So let's throw out a little bit for Sunderland here. They got a massive result against Liverpool, 2-2. They won, this weekend, 4-0 against Palace. Great result against Spurs for them. David Moyes, I think he's, you know what, turned a little bit of a corner. And I think out of all those, I'm going to say all those managers in the bottom six, now they're only 2 points differentiate
crazy,
pretty much bottom to the next six teams or whatever. I think he's got enough muster, enough experience that he's the one I bank on being at the top of that six list.
And being not relegated.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you look at their run of form in the last five, they've been horrible. I mean, yeah, they won this weekend. I'm looking at their last five games. Before the game this weekend, they hadn't won.
Yeah.
It was three losses and two draws. And I guess, it would have been 3-3, including the draw to Spurs. So, yeah, I mean, Sunderland have not been playing well, but you know what? You get a big win, 3 points, and that's one win is three draws.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where all that matters.
All right, guys, the time is now 20 to 6. We'll be right, or 20 past 6, even. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back.
All right, so, Where am I? So Swansea versus Southampton at the Liberty Stadium. Good result again for Swansea. They seem to be picking it up. And rolling a little bit with their momentum.
Clements just got them structured. Their shape is so much better.
They looked like a different team.
Yeah.
And there's been very little change, really.
Yeah, no, it's the same personnel out on the pitch. You're absolutely right.
The
it's just they're structured. They know their roles now. Like, everyone's got their role. And if so-and-so goes 10 yards forward on the angle, this is where you tuck in. And that's what Paul Clements always done. Like, you don't just cover a certain area, you cover the area.
And
so there's so much more structure.
And Sigurdsson is getting more production. He was always playing and always their top player, but now he's getting the goals.
He's actually finding the pockets that he does very well in.
Yeah, in this game he basically dominated the match.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the assist on the first goal, and he scored the game winner in the 70th. It was, yeah, I mean, that was, for me, that was it, that. The fact that we're talking about Swansea. Turning it around as quickly as it has, we were talking about them around Christmas, and it was just horrible.
And look, you got a. it's down to the manager. Like, give the players some credit. They have to, you know, their application has to be right. Their attitude has to be right. But they've bought into. So whatever Bradley was doing, maybe, okay, you're a left-sided midfielder. You're going to play left-side midfield. Da-da-da-da-da. Clement has so much experience through every division in English football.
And in Germany.
He's done it in Europe. Just being able to be like, hey, and like I said, if these two guys, if this happens, this is where you go. This is where the danger could be. And they just look so much more structured. They're not leaking as many goals. I think Sunderland fans have got to be so happy with the appointment. And they found the right guy. Yeah, sorry.
I did the same
Swansea
thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think Swansea and Sunderland are kind of doing a bit of a double act.
Yeah, they're both just like coming out from the dead. It's amazing.
Well, that was a bit of a dink.
It's all right, mate.
All right. Next game, Old Trafford, Man United versus Hull.
Not much to say, mate.
What happened?
Well, just couldn't put the ball in the net, could we? Couldn't put it in the net.
You had a lot of chances, no?
But I said before this game that this was going to be a hard one. Hull are pretty tough, because when we played them at the start of the season, I think from what I got, it was a 1-1 draw, maybe? I think it was?
We beat 2-1 at the start of the season. Rashford in the last minute.
2-1, yeah,
right,
that's what I got.
Tapping. Yeah. The problem with this, and I knew this was going to be a tough game, is that we played them 3 times in the space of about 3 weeks.
Crazy, yeah.
And it's like...
Twice in the EFL Cup,
yeah.
the home and away.
We won 2-0 in the first leg. They won 2-1 in the second, so we got to the final. But they played brilliant in that second leg. And then, obviously, then we play and we draw 0-0 Old Trafford. That doesn't happen very often.
And Hull's another team that have really turned it around.
Without Snodgrass.
They sold their best player, and all of a sudden it's like the rest of the team has to really like circle the wagons.
Right.
And they've
but again,
done a great job.
The manager they've brought in is somebody from like the Mourinho tree, if you like. Portuguese, young guy, knows his stuff, was a good player. Structure and shape is everything. And he's got them in a really good shape. You don't see, what's his name? I always forget his name. I can't remember his name, but he would always drift off 6 yards when a cross was coming in. He'd always drift off 6 yards when a pass in field came, and he's just gotten more structured as a team.
I like their new signing of Evandro. He looks pretty good.
Yeah.
He's kind of come out. I think he used to play for Inter, and I think he's taking on. He's like getting more minutes, especially because Snodgrass isn't there. And I'm not saying he's as talented, but he's certainly playing the role that he needs to play. And he's kind of that fulcrum.
Who's the guy? Who's the guy they bought though to replace Snodgrass? He wears number 50.
That's Markovic.
Markovic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think though that Marcus Silva, the manager, looks like Adam Richmond, the guy from Man vs. Food.
Yeah, he does, yeah. But that Markovic, he could have won it at Old Trafford. Hit the post in the last, like, 5 minutes. Real cheeky. Close the old boot. But, 0-0. You know what? I think, possession, I think we had, like, 65% or something ridiculous. But at the end of the day, you got to stick the ball in the net, and Hull defended really well. So fair play
to you. You guys had 16 shots in the game.
Yeah.
6 on target. And, wow, I mean, how you didn't score, I don't know.
Yeah. Next game, Stoke versus Everton. Draw there. Not a bad result for Stoke, to be perfectly honest.
It's a good result for both teams. Nobody wants to go to Stoke, I'm telling you.
What it's a rough place
on a Wednesday night? No. No, thank you. And so, you know what? I bet Koeman would have taken a 1-1 before.
Well, especially with the only way they scored was an own goal. Shorecross own goal, and so I mean they didn't even get the ball in the back of the net at all. So
Crouch, he scored his 100th Premier League, right?
Great for Crouch, man. Yeah.
Talk about a lot of goals though. Man City versus West Ham at the London Stadium.
West Ham never turned up. West Ham didn't turn up. They were
Carroll, who was on form, you know, Valencia.
Well, they had a bunch of players. They were playing well, West Ham. They just never turned up for that game.
Carroll's been playing really well, and. But really, for me, the probably the best signing has been Gabriel Jesus.
Yeah, 32 million. Yeah, Brazilian guy. We were just about to talk about him.
He's playing really well. They
he's benching Aguero.
Yeah,
which is shocking. Shocking. But, I mean, hey, you need to rotate the squad. I can't imagine that he's going to be the number one over Aguero always.
Well, Aguero is normally injured in and out, and, you know, he's fit and he's not getting game time right now. I'm sure he's got to be frustrated about that.
I think the thing is with Aguero, I think if somebody comes fishing in the summer, 50 million for Aguero, even at 50, and let's face facts.
I think he'd go for more than that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I think if somebody came in for 50, they'd get him. They would get him.
I mean, Madrid's talking about it. Chelsea's talking about it.
He's getting up there too in age.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I mean.
He's like late 20s, right? So he's not in like the twilight of his career or anything like that. But
he's not a spring chicken either.
He's not exactly. You know, he's peak form, but also his value is only going to go down from here.
Yeah,
right. Take it when you can.
That's what I think. I think if somebody comes in for 50, I think Pep and the people at City will evaluate that and be like, you know what? Let's take our 50 million and let's see what 19-year-old kids out there that can maybe bolster.
If they can find another Gabriel Jesus, that would be a really good deal.
And Iheanacho is a good player. I mean, he showed some promise.
Yeah, he's a good player.
If you look at his goals scored per minute played,
it's one of the highest in history. Yeah.
Ridiculous, yeah.
All right, guys, so let's move on to this weekend. Obviously, starting with a really awesome game. Chelsea versus Arsenal.
It was awesome for Chelsea.
It was,
and Will Ferrell, who was in the stands,
along with what's the other guy's name?
John C. Reilly.
Always forget
from Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Apparently,
bike.
Apparently, Ferrell visited the locker room after the game, and he took a picture. Can't remember all the players in the picture, but Pedro was wearing his jersey and no pants. So it's a pretty funny picture.
Fun times. All right, but Hazard's goal was
amazing. That was great.
Conklin should have just taken him down. I think he tried to, but Hazard kind of shook him off. Yeah,
that was a nice little play by him.
And then, okay,
Messi-esque.
I'll let you carry on, and then I'll get to my
point.
No, you go on to your point.
Right,
I don't have much
then.
To say right. about this game.
It was
game.
A comprehensive.
Let's go out. Let's go out and say that probably the hardest player that you have, yeah. Talking straight out, hardest player you've got is probably Coquelin.
When you
gets
say,
completely out-muscled by Eden Hazard.
Who's tiny.
What? This is what I'm saying. Like, there's no spine.
Where
there's
was
no
the professional foul? Just drag him down by the
that's what I was saying. That's exactly what I was saying.
Take your book in and drop back to the 18-yard box.
Doesn't make any sense.
Arsenal don't know how to win ugly. They don't know how to frustrate teams. They'd rather play their way.
We may have a caller here. Hold on. Hello, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench?
Yeah, I think the problem with Arsenal is you're just playing without a recognized striker.
Jeremy, what's up? He says the problem with Arsenal is they're playing without a
designated striker, yeah.
How's it going, guys?
There's only one person with headphones here, so I'm kind of replaying it to everyone. He just wants to know how everyone is.
We're good, mate. Missing you.
Yeah, I just thought this would be the perfect time to call in and talk about a recognized striker. You guys have a good one.
Yeah, thanks, mate. What do you think of the Man United game, by the way, today?
Happy they won.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it was great to see, like, we actually got a result. Like, I think we've been unlucky for the last few games. You know, like, just...
Well, I told Carter this morning, I was like, we need to thrash Leicester. And they came out, they did it.
We did thrash Leicester, yeah. All right, guys. Are you going to be back next week?
Yeah, I'll be there.
All right, buddy.
Have a good one.
I
got
two left.
Yep.
There you go.
There you go. Jezza, checking in.
All right, does anybody have any more points with the Chelsea game?
Yeah.
We can talk about this all day, to be perfectly honest, because obviously...
I mean, when was the last time you won the league, Mark?
2013 years ago.
13 years. And you think of... Like, I don't necessarily go back and... try and compare, but this guy has been in charge since what, 97?
Yeah,
97. I think of Arsenal, I think of the spine, not necessarily anything else. I think of Tony Adams, I think of David Seaman, Tony Adams, Martin Keown, Emmanuel Petit, Patrick Vieira, Henri and Dennis Bergkamp, spine of the team, straight through the thing, absolute
Perez.
Fighters. But fighters, I'm talking about your true fighters. Tell me, like, this is what I'm saying. Like, if Coughlin's probably your hardest nutcase, in your team.
I don't know. I'd say Xhaka probably is.
Xhaka? The guy that can't make a tackle to say, yeah, okay.
Who keeps I'm getting saying, sent
it's,
off?
It's so poor. It's so poor. If you're going to play the, a team, like Arsene Wenger must know, Chelsea are in champions form. Champions form, yeah? You put out a team and you say, you know what? Yes, you bunch of ability. What I need you to do today is literally kick some people. That's what managers tell thing, yeah? When you play against a champion, a team that comes to town take and they're playing down. Champions football, you frustrate them, you niggle them. Diego Costa is the biggest firecracker in the Premier League. You kick him, you harry him, you throw him off the pitch, you throw him into the boards. You do everything you can to win. That's the game. It's not cheating. It's the game. Let the referee manage the game. You do not have one player in your team that's capable of doing it. So all this time that Arsene goes on that, oh, it's mathematically possible we can win the title. It's probably mathematically possible that Leicester can win the title. I haven't done the numbers, but it's never going to happen. Just like it's never going to happen that Arsenal are going to do it. United aren't going to do it.
Yeah, I think that this game, with that result, Arsenal is pretty much done.
You basically need a Roy Keane
but, character. Like, they can be top four, but there's no chance at the title. Not as though we thought, really,
all
that
I'm
they
saying
were going to do it.
My point is, if we'd been doing this show for 13 years, what you just said then, Alex, you'd have said on the same date every year for the past 13 years. Because you're always in it at New Year's within 6-7 points and then just absolutely disappear. So I'm with the Arsenal fans that are calling for change because I think
it needs to happen.
It needs to happen.
But I think I would only want it to happen if I could guarantee who I was going to get on the next end. I know it's not people look it down on like looking for other coaches before you get rid of your current coach. You know that they're doing this through.
Well,
back
they've
gym.
Talked about Allegri.
See the problem Juve. With the problem with Arsenal to me is like Arsene is like he's a stable figure in the sense that he's kind of been in there. He's been there a long time, but it's stale. It's stagnant. He needs to go. They need to replace it. Out with the old, in with the new.
The thing is that Arsenal, and I think this is honestly true, and if people want to call me a BSer on this, they can, but I think that Arsenal think of Arsene Wenger with the time that he's been there as an Alex Ferguson to Man United. But the thing is that Man United...
hasn't had the results. I mean, how many titles...
So Alex Ferguson was able, when he lost two leagues in a row, was able to reinvent his team to win a title... and which enabled him to bow out on a high. And we talked before the show, Mark, where you said that you think that you would love that if Arsene could go out with like maybe a trophy or something like that. I don't see it in the squad to be able to do that. But it's not just Arsene. It's the application of the players. Like you have to be willing to fight. You have to kind of... If Arsene's telling you to express yourself and do all this thing on the pitch... that's great, but at some point, as a professional footballer, at 60 minutes when you're 2-0 down, you have to be like, you know what? Let's express ourselves. Let's fight. Let's throw a few elbows. Let's throw a few punches. Let's throw a few kicks, and let's really frustrate this team and see if we
can
create
something.
But at
that point,
something.
I mean, I don't know. When you're down in a game, and like that's the way you get banned. You know, that's how you lose, you get red cards and things like that. I'm fine with fighting when the game is still up for grabs to a degree. You're saying 70 minutes in. I mean, they're down 2-0 at that point. Like, playing reckless, I get what you're saying. There's playing physical, but then there's playing out of control.
Okay, you're absolutely right. But they did nothing.
They didn't do anything.
They didn't do anything.
I agree with what you're saying.
You might as well have just walked off the pitch. Show me some. I'd rather, as a fan, paying that money and going to watch them in a derby, right? I'd rather see you show me some passion, show me some fight, than do nothing. Than do absolutely nothing.
So Wenger's got to go.
Absolutely. I think it's time. I think you've done enough. Okay, you've won us some titles. You have the Invincibles.
You built a stadium.
You've done that. You've got us to where we need to go. I think it's...
question has to be asked is, and it sounds kind of crazy, is the point of Arsenal Football Club to actually win titles, or is it to make money and go to the Champions League and bring in the revenue and essentially make the owners rich? Are they... What is their What are their goals? What is the number one goal? Is it financial first and then performance on the
pitch? If that's the case,
I think the days of David Dean are over.
Okay, yeah. But I think if that's the case, yeah, every season ticket holder at the Emirates that pay outlandish prices based against Premier League thing, yeah, should never go to another game until that mentality changes.
Well, I passed around an article to you guys a few days ago, which is called...
You're obsessed with this article. It's just ruffling the feathers.
So it's about tourist fans and the fact that people go... And it happens at all the clubs.
Of course, you're going to United game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so people go... What I'm saying is, so there's tourist fans. These people aren't true fans that have been going for years, season ticket holders. They don't know all the chants. They come in, they're tourists. You know, they're just there to see their favorite player, you know, get the selfie stick out or whatever and take some pictures and check in on Facebook. But when it comes down to actually, like, supporting the club, making the and making the noise and being with the chants and really lifting the club to a higher standard, you're not going to get that out of these tourist fans.
But that is probably just a byproduct.
And the Emirates is pretty quiet a lot of games.
I mean, it wasn't like that at Highbury. I've been to a game there, and it was amazing how quiet it was.
But isn't this just not a byproduct of the fact that the Premier League is so big internationally now that people are coming from overseas? People like ourselves that are living here now, that are, I would call us true fans, that are going over there, but maybe don't have that culture or the background of maybe living in Manchester or living around the Tottenham stadium. We're like, we just go because it's our favourite team. But we're not, you know, there every weekend chanting.
Yeah.
You know. That's my only opinion of it. The time is now 6:40. We'll be right back. All right, guys. So the next game, we do have to move on from the Arsenal bashing here.
Mark doesn't want to talk about it, that's for sure.
West Brom versus Stoke. Good result for West Brom.
Fantastic finish, James Morrison.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Great result for West Brom. Stoke, even when Stoke, you know, play away from home, tough team to break down, but... they did great, but the one thing in that Stoke game is the Peters miss.
And like at the last second.
Yeah.
How did he hit the whole goal and he somehow shot it across the goal? It was horrible.
Probably the worst position that you want arriving in that spot, like your left back, like coming in to try and head that home. But, you know, he's actually scored a few goals this year, so, yeah, it was shocking to see him put that. And it was so far wide, it was ridiculous.
Mm.
Great result for West Brom.
All right, next game, Watford versus Burnley. Watford getting the result there, Troy Deeney. How many goals is he on now? 102,
isn't it? 103? Yeah. But the big story in this game was...
the red card, yeah.
Yeah, Hendricks getting sent off after 6 minutes. I mean, that's pretty much job done.
I mean, so you look at that tackle, and then you look at Mata's tackle, which was just a yellow. I just don't understand how one's a red and one's a yellow. Mata tackle in today's game looked... like a red.
I think so.
It was a straight red.
I give you that. But I think, again, Man United, his reputation of what kind of player he is.
Right.
I don't see why that matters. Shouldn't you be objective and say, you know what? He could have broken his ankle.
Absolutely. But it does come into it. Because you've seen tackles this year. The whole game, Man United, 0-0. I don't know what the striker's name is, but went in round kneecaps on Daily Blind and sent Michael Carrick off at halftime. Should have been sent off in the first one, the Carrick tackle, and didn't. And then Silva ends up bringing him off after 65 minutes to protect him.
Because he had a yellow, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. But that's the beauty about this game, right? I mean, it's decisions like that. If you had, like, a robot deciding what was thing, then we'd have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, but I feel like in soccer, you... the referee has more of an impact on the game than
absolutely.
Any with the potential. Like, because, I mean, sending a player off. I mean, yeah, you can do that in ice hockey for a couple of minutes, but then you go back to full strength. I mean, maybe in basketball with all the ticky-tack fouls and that one ref that was a little crazy and basically let the Lakers win the championship a few years ago. But anyway, the whole point here, though, is that referees have all the power to make these decisions, and they're supposed to make the decisions that are objective. And if you're making tackles that can break people's ankles, I mean, the reality is you have to give them a red because you cannot endorse that kind of play.
No, yeah, right. You're right. But I think, like, a lot of it comes down to the player that's been tackled, what does he do? Does he roll around on the ground and call for the stretcher?
And for the red in the Burnley game, that guy was rolling around like...
Yeah.
Like
or do you
other.
Jump straight back up and thing? Like, there are some tackles, like, you get hit on your ankle. It can be, like, half an inch difference from where you got hit. One doesn't hurt a bit, and you jump straight back up. And one is excruciating, where you can't walk
for
3 days.
I think what helped Mata was the fact that... I forget who he was tackling. Vardy, yeah. He was like in the air. So he like his momentum, it's not when your foot is planted and you get hit, those are much more dangerous because your foot, there's no give if you're in the turf. So yeah, I mean, I think that maybe the fact that there was a theatrical kind of leap afterwards may have helped him actually.
Yeah. Yeah, but Matt is a little bit of a ninja. So he came in on that. Like, wow, that was.
Yeah, he was frustrated about giving the ball away and thing. But notoriously a very fair, non-malicious player.
Right.
Who gets his fair share of crunching tackles on him. So, I mean...
And good for Watford. Look at Watford now. They're now 10th. They're in the top half.
Yeah.
You know, they have 30 points right on it. And, hey, they're playing well. Good on them to be where they are.
Because we were worried about them a few weeks ago. The old Deeney drought.
They were
losing some games. Yeah. But,
well, the NBC Sports Network document on the, we've talked about this before was great, and that kind of showcased the ambition of this club.
Now they're doing Sunderland.
Right. Yeah, and Southampton, too.
They're talking about Southampton. That's a nice game, St. Mary's Stadium against West Brom, or West Ham, even. West Ham getting back on form after getting spanked by Man City.
With Payet gone to Marseille.
Yeah, I don't think...
This was a strange game. New signing, Gabbiadini. Whenever I hear that name, I think about Back to the Glory Days, late 90s, Marco Gabbiadini. But anyway, not the same guy. Scored an absolute great finish.
Only one place you can go
great
when you had that angle.
Absolutely smashed it
right
past
to the roof.
The keeper, didn't
he?
Yeah. Keeper didn't even move. He was like before him before he even did anything.
2 minutes later, Carroll's got it in the back of the net.
Great finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, that
great
was a great
run.
Pass. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, West Ham just went on and killed the game off. But great result for West Ham away from home, especially coming off the 4-0 against Man City.
Yeah.
So
points back.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Great game. Probably the best game for me this weekend was Hull versus Liverpool.
I think there's a little bias there.
I don't know. I don't know where to start.
I'm kidding, guys, obviously. But
the thing is, you get into a run like Liverpool are on right now, every game, it doesn't matter who you play against, just seems impossible. Like, looks so difficult. And I said a couple of weeks ago, I think Liverpool have a really bad kind of mentality amongst their players. Very young squad.
In the league, in their last... 5 games, they've lost 4 of them, drew the game to Chelsea.
Yeah.
That was actually a really good result, like we said earlier.
Yeah.
That draw to Chelsea.
And they could have easily have lost if Costa converted that penalty.
Yeah.
And they also lost in the FA Cup in between there. So they have really just hit the wall.
Well, they, and
the EFL Cup.
And they got knocked out 2 legs to Southampton in the
EFL. Oh, that's right, of course. Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's what I was going to say. That first leg against Southampton in the EFL is the worst I've seen them play this year. And they should have been down like 3 or 4-0 in that game, but Southampton managed to win just 1-0, Redmond goal. And I'm telling you, from there, they have not performed. That Chelsea game, they rose to the occasion against a big club, right?
But
I'm telling you, they're on a downslide.
I think they have missed Mane, but he's back now.
You look at the teams they've lost to: Bournemouth, Swansea, Burnley.
You can't win the league with.
Yeah, at Hull City, and they drew against Sunderland.
And yeah, at Southampton as well.
You can't win the league.
And Wolves, they lost to...
Yeah, the Marty Molyneux boys. Big up Brian Gregg.
Robert Plant's a Wolverhampton fan, I believe.
Is he? Wolves fan? Go. I didn't know that. All right, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, I think that it's the Liverpool situation is they just have no teeth up front. They don't have an out-and-out striker.
A recognized striker.
Whatever you're saying is, Liverpool's got major problems.
And their defense is just dreadful.
Horrible, yeah.
Yeah.
The first goal that they gave up was like, how's this even happening?
Working. But moving on to another, the other side of Liverpool, Goodison Park. Everton. This was a high score.
Lukaku on my fantasy team. I should have captained him.
This was ridiculous. So 3-0 at halftime.
And then it came two goals back, and it was like, oh wow.
Yeah,
it,
we got a game on. Like,
yeah, game on.
Then and it then, got to 5-2, then 5-3, and then 6-3.
And then Lukaku scores two goals in basically 1 minute, in the 83rd and the 84th.
I wanted to ask you something, Ryan, about, because you obviously have played. Like, our teams, when are they most vulnerable to a second goal, like, to basically losing it? Because I always find that, for me, once you've scored the first, to get that second one within as many minutes as possible. Like United did today, that second goal came within 2 minutes.
The rule of thumb is, the way that I've always thought about it, is that I'd rather be 1-0 up with 15 minutes to go than 2-0 up with 15 minutes to go.
Really? Yeah, they always say that 2-0 is the most dangerous.
Because people
kind of
switch off. You're like,
they're saying this, if I'm 2-0 up and in the 75th minute that the opposing team scores, you go into human nature. You go into defensive mode, right?
So you're never.
Whereas if I'm 1-0 up with 75 pressure. Minutes to go, and in the 75th minute they score to make it 1-1,
you're still going
to
fight.
All right, I think of that as being 0-0, right. And I've got 15 minutes to win this game.
Okay,
but 2-0 and it gets to 2-2, you're like, I've lost this game.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the thing is with Bournemouth is when they get. They scored two goals. They've still got 20 minutes left to get that third, to make it 3-3. They are absolutely vulnerable there because they are just... You saw it. Their fullbacks are pushing forward. Their midfielders... Their holding midfielder absolutely is almost like tip of the diamond. Mm. It was inevitable it was going to happen. And you only have to see, like, the Everton, the last three Everton goals, absolute classic counter.
I don't think I've ever seen someone celebrate before scoring a goal. And Ross that's Barker, what Barkley did on the last.
How great would that have been if he'd have put it wide?
You hate Barkley.
Yeah.
I'm surprised because, you know, Eddie Howe normally puts out a really organized team, and to get thrashed like this, I was a little surprised by the scoreline.
All right, very quickly, on to the next one. Sunderland versus Crystal Palace.
Oh my God.
Had something to say about this game, about the fans.
Unbelievable.
They were booing as they were scoring. Mm-hmm. They were already in full throat of boos before the fourth goal was even scored.
Well, you had... So at halftime, it's 4-0. 3 minutes of injury time. Defoe scores his second.
He scores two in extra time.
45 minutes and a few seconds, and then 47 minutes and a few seconds. It's 4-0 at halftime. And then you have a fan come on. The whistle's blown for halftime. You have a fan come on to try and attack the captain of Crystal Palace, Damien Delaney, gets restrained. And you only have to look at Damien Delaney's face where he's like, I'm kind of with you, mate. Like, you know what I mean? I don't blame you.
One bit.
That in Dongle was fantastic.
Fantastic.
He looks like a good signing.
What a hit that was. Yeah.
That was pure.
Sunderland, fair play to them. 4-0 at halftime. And professional, Yanazai actually played well this game. I can't believe I'm saying that. First time in 3 years I've said Yanazai played well. Brilliant. And then there's some unsavory scenes at the end of the game where a lot of the Crystal Palace fans were actually trying to mount the wall of the tunnel to obviously chase the players and the manager. And rightly so. And to be fair, Big Sam, after the game in his interview, said, I thought it would have been worse. From what I saw, I thought the fans would have reacted worse because they got no value for money, absolutely atrocious.
So, I mean...
How are the cheerleaders?
Non-existent, I imagine.
Yeah. All right, so the next game, your boys, Spurs.
So, 1-0, Spurs... Kane scored on a penalty with nice footwork by Son to draw the penalty.
Same thing three times this year, right? We've seen that three times from Son. Exactly the same penalty given against him. He does it every time. Brilliant.
He's got great footwork when he just kind of slides the ball from his left to right, and then they just come in and just take out his legs. And it was a clear penalty in my eyes. But the thing is that kind of scares me is that there were so many other chances that they had that they just didn't really convert on. And so I'm not worried about Spurs from a ability to win games. It's that really they should be scoring a lot more goals.
Right.
They're not scoring as much as they should be. They have so many chances. And a couple times in this game, Son was being a little greedy and didn't pass to Kane or so to someone else. It really should have been more goals. And
but you, I mean, you got the
and
result,
this once
though,
again will be the fall of Tottenham.
Well, the thing is,
every year and the year before that and the year before that.
Well, I'm confused.
So says the Arsenal fan.
Yeah, yeah. Just,
they just always start to falter around this time of year towards the end of the season, and they start dropping points and not scoring goals.
The reason they historically have dropped, started to play poor around this time of the year, which is a true statement, is that generally it's injuries, and you see Vertonghen is out. Right. Rose is now injured as well. We're unsure of what's going to happen there. But also, we just didn't rotate the squad enough.
I was going to say, Tottenham have never rotated the squad, and they've never had a deep enough squad. I think they have actually semi-decent squad this year.
Yeah.
And I think Pochettino, learning from last year, will make the changes and bring in some fresh legs for lesser games.
Important for us to win that game in the FA Cup so there was no replay.
Yeah.
And just take one more game off your schedule.
Absolutely.
Which makes a big difference.
And the thing is as well, is that look, Tottenham are a powerhouse right now in this league. They're a top three team all day long, right? So when you have a team like Middlesbrough, they had some decent chances. Tottenham dominated.
They could have drawn it at the end.
Yeah.
They had a chance in extra time.
Yeah, Negredo with a real good effort.
Negredo had one, and then there was, I forget the other guy's name, but there was another chance that just went wide. They could have very well got the points. But I mean, the thing about, if you look at Middlesbrough, they actually are playing pretty well. If you look at their problem is that they cannot score goals.
Yeah.
But their goals against is some of the best in the league.
Yeah.
And so they have the team other than the strikers. Yeah. And once they get some strikers...
They held us to a goal of straw.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that you were
and
saying.
They should have won the game.
That's what you were saying, Ryan, about those lower teams. They can just throw the spanner in the works.
Absolutely, Because they're fighting for every point. They're not necessarily fighting for 3 points. They're just fighting for that point.
Right.
So Middlesbrough actually feel a little... Because I thought they defended really well. Valdez played really well, pulled off some good saves. That first half, I think, of the Sun, if his first touch would have been a little bit better and got it out of his feet, that would have been guaranteed 1-0.
Yeah, I was surprised he didn't convert that. That was the breakaway chance.
He played great. He's still playing good.
And what do they say? It's about 40 points that kind of guarantees that you don't
get relegated.
40
points, yeah.
Middlesbrough have 21 right now.
Yeah, they got some work to do.
Yeah.
Kay Murray's upset.
All right, guys.
I think this year might actually be the lowest points total.
Yeah. All right, guys, moving on to Sunday's games. The Etihad, Man City versus Swansea.
Oh, Gabriel Jesus.
32 million. Is he in the Brazilian?
Yeah, he has been for a little while, yeah.
He's under 18s, I think. So.
He's only 19 right now, and so he's...
He's been playing for the national team, I think, for at least 2 years now.
Yeah. I mean, granted, Brazil aren't starting what they used to be, but at the same time, that says something.
That's great, but still, Man City, okay, they won, 2-1 against Swansea.
But barely.
A team that's been struggling. But still, for me, unconvincing. You're going to wait till the 92nd minute? I mean...
Sigurdsson had the goal for Swansea, 2-1 in the end.
And they played so well, they defended so well.
Swansea deserved a point.
One little lapse in concentration, giving that guy that space. He worked it well, I'll give him that.
I liked his first goal was pretty cool.
Yeah.
With an air kind of ninja kick kind of thing.
Fabianski should have done better with the header.
Floppy.
It's straight at him.
Why he's not at Arsenal anymore.
Get it wide.
There were some really good free kicks taken in this game. None of them
really
went
good.
In. Yaya Toure had
and
one Sigurdsson, that was great.
Sigurdsson.
It was
really
great goalie play.
Caballero on that one tipped it onto the post.
That was
really
great.
Good. But yeah, City still in it, if you like. What are they on now? 49 points.
49 points. They're third. So they're 10 points back at Chelsea. I mean, I just don't see you making up 10 points.
Chelsea are the team to win it.
Yeah, I mean, if Chelsea don't win it, it's like, it'd be. I just don't see that happening.
I think
it's
top four is going to be the most interesting, because I can see both Liverpool stumbling a little bit and Arsenal.
Sorry, I knew you were going to say that, mate.
Sorry, mate.
But United are 5 points off Arsenal.
Not anymore.
No, mate.
Yeah, 42.
No, Arsenal got 47. We got 45.
Yeah, they're only 2 points behind us.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Literally,
which should
one
probably
weekend,
lead us into the table, right?
Yeah, one weekend can literally change everything. Yeah, so.
Exactly. All right, so let's move on to the Man United game against Leicester City. Leicester City are in
big trouble.
Dire straits. Yeah.
And I don't know. I think Claudio was on his way out.
He gets the chance to play five more games or so at least. Well, there's 14 games left. There's plenty 14. Of time for them to recover. But the reality is that if you're not getting the results at this level, you got to go. I don't care what your name is. And I was actually really surprised that they got him in the first place, Ranieri. I mean, he's been a coach all around Europe.
He was replaced by Mourinho at Chelsea.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, you look at him, and he coached the Italian team, the national team, and...
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Martino on NBC Sports Network, they were kind of debating during halftime, you know, when you guys were up by a bit, you know, how long he has this season. And Kyle Martino kind of made a good point, you know, like, he was saying a lot of it depends on the tie with Sevilla. You know, like, they're still in Champions League.
I don't see them winning that game again, or not that.
I don't see them winning that game either, but if they stay in that tie, you know, and give the fans some hope, that buys him a little bit more time.
I honestly think they'll beat him. I think it will be a draw, in the first leg.
You've been
leg.
Saying that forever, but.
I told you.
All right, guys. Let's move on to the table. So Chelsea are sitting in 59 points. Tottenham are right behind on 50.
I'm about right behind. But
well,
yeah,
they're right behind.
Three games back.
9 points behind, but they're right behind them. Man City are behind them. I'm 49. I mean, it's getting pretty tight here. Arsenal sitting in fourth. Fifth, we've got Liverpool in 46. Man United in 45.
And Everton's playing great ball right now, and they're 5 points off. That's United with 40 points.
And then West Bromwich Albion in 36. West Ham in 31 and Watford in 30, right, sitting in number 10. Bottom three in the relegation zone, Hull City in 20, Crystal Palace on 19, and then Sunderland on 19 as well.
Who wants to take a cheeky fiver on Everton finishing above Liverpool?
I know, yeah, that wouldn't be a bad shout. But I tell you what, I would go out on a limb on what I've seen in the past 2 weeks, that both...
Who was the bottom three?
Hull, Crystal Palace, Sunderland.
I would say Hull and Sunderland getting out of it.
And Crystal Palace are done.
Crystal Palace
are
done.
They are toast.
Who's going with them? I'd go Middlesbrough.
You think Sunderland
I don't know. Yeah, I think Sunderland could pull it out.
And Swansea as well? You think you see them staying up? Or?
I see Swansea staying up.
Mm. So, I mean, the only other team there is like Bournemouth then.
Stoke? all right.
One of them has to go down.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
It's going to be interesting. I think the bottom, the actual relegation zone is going to be more interesting.
It's
going to
be
right. Yeah,
it'll definitely be better than the title because that's Chelsea are running away with it.
All right, guys. So the fixture list for Saturday: we have Arsenal versus Hull City, Man United versus Watford. Oh, that'll be a good one. Middlesbrough versus Everton, Stoke versus Crystal Palace, Sunderland versus Southampton, West Ham versus West Brom. The two resties. Liverpool versus Spurs.
That's going to be a good one. Tune in.
What do you think?
Spurs, 2-0.
Do you think? Yeah, Sunday,
I'll take
Burnley
that.
Versus Chelsea.
Go Liverpool.
And Swansea versus Leicester City. And then we have one Monday game, which is obviously that won't have been played by the fact that we're here next week, but we might as well mention it. It's Bournemouth versus Man City. So, yeah, we've got an exciting Saturday weekend. All right, guys, so that's
Jack
it for this
Wilshire.
Weekend. Thanks a lot for everyone being here, Ryan, obviously Mark and Alex, and we will see you next Sunday night.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host Andy Richardson on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.